Hi, everybody. My name's Mike, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Very, very grateful to be here today sober. And before I get started, I'd like to thank the committee for inviting me to participate today. I'd like to also thank Bill, our regional trustee, for giving me that little loving invitation to come up and do a little something for the region here, as well as my friend Don and one of our past trusted servants, Jack Meager, and definitely to the archivists in Area 34 and the rest of the region for helping to preserve our history. And basically, that's what I was asked to do, and hopefully I can cover it in 15 minutes I'm allotted. So if Bill seems to be moving this way and I'm further this way, I know I'm getting short of time, but I want to finish. But I said recovered because I have recovered from that hopeless state of mind and body. And it's funny because I did get an interest in history really early on in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was really interested in how that ability to carry the message from one alcoholic to another had so much and would offer so much help. It took a while to get that a little bit, but anyway, some of the things I found was by taking and reading some of the books that were out there, particularly our book Alcoholics Anonymous, and getting to learn what the program was, how to do it. Of course, I had to do it my way for quite a while. And then also starting to read some of the history of the AA Comes of Age, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, and so on and so forth. So I took and got an education about Alcoholics Anonymous very, very early, but I didn't get how it works until later. But anyway, it's kind of funny. The regional concept for the current system now of the regions serving at the conference and so on and so forth was first proposed in 1955 by Bill Wilson. You know, after Dr. Bob's death and realizing that there, you know, he wasn't going to be able to carry on and be the leader of this fellowship and needed to turn it over to the fellowship itself as well as to the trusted servants that were duly elected to serve us. And I didn't read a whole lot about it, but I know he did try it a couple of times, but it was only until the Concepts for World Service were adopted at the 1962 General Service Conference that the suggestion of regionalizing came about, and at that time there were three regions that were asked to solicit names to serve as regional trustees. And East Central Region was the one, and Pacific Region, as well as the Southwest Region. And at the time, East Central Region had the base states that it has now with Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio and Michigan, but Ohio was incorporating part of Northwest Kentucky, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan was considered part of Western Michigan, but the northern part of Wisconsin was still participating in the Mid-Central region. They came along later in 1971 and joined the Central region, and then in 1966, Northern Kentucky decided to go back and let their voice be heard at the Kentucky Assembly. So the East Central Region was formed in 1964 with the election of the first trustee, and that was Howard Benhoff from Northwest Ohio. And according to our regional records, he actually resided in the northeastern part of Ohio. So there was a little dispute there, so I figured I'd just go with what I had from the writings. But Howard didn't make a full term. In fact, he died in his first year. So D. Bruce Mansfield, from northeast Ohio, was elected to fill and finish that term, and he served until 1965. And then 1966 to 1977, Andy Anderson from Southeast Michigan served from Area 33. Then in 1971, something that was a bright spot in Western Michigan's part of their history. Jack Meager was elected to serve the fellowship as area from Area 34 as the Central Regional Trustee. But he was asked to only do a three-year term, so that the board rotation from at that time the six-year term of a East Central Regional Trustee was reduced to four. In fact, two consecutive trustees from East Central Region served only 3 years' term, and the other one was Bruce Wright from Northern Illinois, Area 20. Surprise, huh, Cheryl?
No, I got it right here.
Oh, you got it there, too. Cool. And then our dear friend from Southern Wisconsin, Virginia Hallman, the first woman that was ever elected trustee from the region served, and she served her term from 1977 to 1980. And then comes along our character of the region, I would guess be called Buck, or O.S. Buck Bruner from Southern Indiana, Area 23. And of course, then our comedian, J.R. Jack Whitehouse from Central Michigan from 1985 to 1988. He was from Area 32. In Michigan, that's the central region, or central area. And then there's somebody we like to refer to as the old man. He happens to be sitting in the first row behind the folks that are hard to hear, Mr. Donald Weaver. Actually, he didn't serve until after Jan Whitney, which was our second lady trustee. I got ahead of myself, sorry. And Jan did serve from 1989 to 1992, with Don Weaver serving then from 1993 to 96. And I have to say that's when I got a little kick into service after attending my first regional forum in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and he was rotating in as trustee, and I had to know more about this service thing. After Don, a gentleman, Jack Ostrom, from Northern Illinois, and he served from 1997 to 2000. The region then elected another lady trustee, Dorothy May, our wonderful school teacher. I served with her during the 54th and 55th General Service Conference as a panel 54 delegate. She was my trustee. At that conference in the 55th conference, I had the honor and privilege to be able to participate in the election of the new regional trustee as well as trustee at large U.S., which was Robert Mayer, and then our dear friend Dorothy Wilson, who happened to be a transplant from another region, or another region and area, actually. And it's kind of funny, she was residing at the time in Indianapolis, but it was such a joy to be able to know these people as well as the participation in the election process. And Dorothy was from Area 44, North Dakota. She's back there now with her family and friends, and we do maintain touch, and it was such an honor and privilege to be able to serve with her. When Bob was elected trustee, we started to have a little fun, you know, because we're not a glum lot. So it was kind of what we like to call the little dispute over where the line is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, because Western Michigan covers the, and we like to call it the eastern portion or eastern half. Really, it's only like a three-county line or whatever. But we kept, you know, going back and forth with the delegates from northern Wisconsin and teasing about, yeah, the most beautiful part, the most scenic, and either that or the most remote part, you know, and things like that. And we still continue to have fun and do that today. And that's what, you know, keeps this fellowship alive, is the humor that we bring as well as our experience, strengths, and hopes. After Bob served, we elected another lady trustee, and that was Pam Rising from Area 33, Southeast Michigan. And you're probably noticing there's quite a few from Michigan. There's been a wealth of trusted servants that have come from Michigan. And I'm very, very proud to be part of that group of people that have been able to serve this fellowship. But the thing of it is, the region got going was a lot in part with what efforts that Jack Meagher had put forth. In 1945, it was recorded there were 11 states in a region that were holding a couple of conferences a year, and Jack was invited to attend the one in 1972 at the regional delegates luncheon, and it was their 22nd annual one. And Bill also, or I'm sorry, it was their annual one, and Bill at the, or sorry again, Jack at the 22nd General Service Conference proposed it to the region delegates. And they thought it was a pretty good idea. And then at the 23rd, it was proposed to have a couple of the other event, which was our East Central Regional Conference. And through that, the establishment of what we now call the Delegates Conference of, or Conference of Delegates Past and Present, that meets on or about the second weekend in February, to conduct some of the business issues and to help, and I do mean because I found it one of the greatest places for help for an incoming delegate to learn about the process and become a little bit more sure of themselves and to really feel that they are a part of that process. You know, up until that point with my being elected from the area, I had a lot of self-doubts, a lot of fears. And through attending those events, I was able to get more confidence. I had my dear friend, Gary Kay, from the Southwest region that was trustee, and he said, the first year you showed up at the conference, it was like you were a deer standing in the middle of the road with the headlights shining directly in your eyes and not knowing which way to turn. And the second year, he said, you completely changed person. And that's what the process did. But it was only through learning and going through some of the things. So in 1974, it was at the Delegates Past and Present Conference that they finally decided that there should be a regional conference, and it was held in conjunction with the 20th State Convention in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan. And there were quite a few people that were excited about it. Andy Quaid, Panel 25 delegate, offered his services to plan the events, as well as Norm and Fran Adams. And the guidelines for the region, the Conference of Delegates Past and Present, were taken and worked on, a lot of talk. And, of course, like we do so well in AA, we try to pick apart everything with a fine-tooth comb and then try to word it the way we like. But anyway, after time, they finally take it. And in 1980, had adopted the submitted structure of the region, and it then became history. Since then, there's been a little bit modification of the election procedure so that there is a smooth rotation with the officers in the region. The co-chair of the event, while they are in his or her term, is the regional trustee, and then the other co-chair is elected for a two-year term, and the secretary also on even-numbered years, and then the treasurer and the program historian is elected on the odd number of years. And since 1981, this has been kind of the way things have gone, by great help from a lady named Karen Tinley, who helped draft the guidelines to the Delegates Past and Present Conference. You know, it's like with any organization, structure, whatever the case, changes along the way. It doesn't seem to matter who is present at the meeting or those that have passed on, but the legacy of service is still carried forward, and carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, as so many of us do, and do it because it ensures our sobriety as well as helping to repay the debt that was at once given to us. And the East Central region is still very, very, very dedicated to this message and carrying it in every aspect that it can. And hopefully the little presentation I have given today will help preserve our past so that we can ensure our future. Thank you.
Please help me welcome our next speaker, Paula E. from Southern Illinois. Paula is the current delegate for Southern Illinois.
Good afternoon. My name is Paula Elliott. I'm Panel 65, Southern Illinois Area 21 delegate. And it is a big hoot for me to be up here today.
Hi, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
I, too, got the loving invitation. And until I went to the General Service Conference in April, I had no idea really what that meant. What that kind of means is that they kind of sort of very emphatically ask you to volunteer, but not so much doing something that they need you to do. And, I mean, how could we not say yes? I had just come back from the General Service Conference when Bill called me, and for those in my area, they know that I was and can tend to be very emotional. And when Bill called me, I literally was shaking and crying because I could not believe it. And what I've been asked to do is kind of explain to you a little bit about Southern Illinois Area 21, which is the best area in the whole world. And if you can't say that about your area, we have openings. we've been taught to, like, reach out to the experienced past delegates. I contacted Carl Mizell, who was a past delegate for us. And I said, Carl, give me some history about Southern Illinois Area 21. And do you know what he tells me? It's in the book. This is our area handbook, which I never read the first page. Imagine that. I am an alcoholic after all. And what it says in here, and it is in the book really, from 1951 through 1971, the northern and southern areas of Illinois were operated as one service entity known as Downstate Illinois. Now, some people are still confused about that because they think that when you say Illinois, it's Chicago. There's only two cities in Illinois, I guess, the other one being Springfield. But we elected a southern section delegate for the odd years and a northern section delegate for even years in 1960 for the purpose of choosing delegates. A dividing line between the two sections was determined largely along U.S. 24. Delegate Area 21, Southern Illinois, and Delegate Area 20, Northern Illinois, began operating separately in 1972 with their own treasury and elected officers. The Southern Illinois area is composed of approximately the southern two-thirds of the state of Illinois, with the southern, western, and eastern boundaries being the same as the state of Illinois. Approximate northern boundary runs from the Illinois state line west along U.S. 24 to Livingston County, north to Route 17, and follow 17 to Route 88. And then it's all county from there in the book, so I'm not going to bore you with all that. Yeah. In Area 21, we have districts from 4 to 20, and two of them, as of right now, are still dark. We did relight one in the last couple years, District 20, and I had the honor of visiting that one recently, and I'll be reporting that one at my next district report when I go to, Area Assembly, not to be confused. From north to south, there's 300 miles. That's not true. I can't read my own writing. But totally, there's, and this was surprising to me because when I was at the conference, one of the delegates talked about how she had 800,000 square miles to cover. 800,000. I won't complain about my district reports ever again. But ours is by like 57,918 square miles. And Illinois is 25th size of the 50 states in the United States. We have four area assemblies a year, and that's rotated on a bidding process. I must be boring them already. They're leaving in droves. We have 29 state prisons in the state of Illinois and 397 treatment facilities. That's a lot of opportunity for service work, I think, for corrections and treatments. Now, of course, we share the challenge with areas 19 and 20 because that's for the whole state. Area 21 has approximately 7,700 groups. Members' average size for meetings is about 15 to 20. Some of them have less. We have a couple just in our district that's 150 to 200, kind of like as big as the ones in Chicago from what I hear, but, I mean, we don't. That's not our norm down there. There are six cities other than Chicago with a population between 100,000 and 200,000, none of them being in southern Illinois except for maybe Springfield. And just a little bit, I'm just going to give a personal thing. I, like I said, I had the honor of visiting District 20, and they had the only time they had really a district visit is when they were first getting started, or an area visit is when they were first getting started. And I went down there to give my district report or area report, and I was really honored and overtaken with appreciation and gratitude when I was driving up there, and the fact that our state and the area that I represent is so amazingly beautiful. If you could picture closing your eyes and driving along 55, and you're surrounded by cornfields and hayfields and cows and chickens and pigs, and for some of you that's like whack, but you know, and a lot of people, I think it's like that. When I went to New York, the only place they had grass was in Central Park. But we're surrounded by that, and I was really grateful for where I am and where I come from, because I'm not a big city girl. This place is crazy, just for the record. Our largest crop is corn. We also have soybeans, hay, wheat, rye, oats, grain, and sorghum. Bet you some of you don't even know what that is. Not that I do either. What I can tell you is that Area 21 is very diverse. As I said, we have big cities with big populations and meetings. We have little bitty towns. Liberty, one of the towns I industry, one of the towns I drove through had a population of 300. And so that's kind of where I come from. We have had a lot of death in our area recently, and the way we deal with that is we come together as a family. And we put together meals for those people who are grieving, and we go visit and we go do the wake thing. And so in just speaking from Area 21, I just am so honored. I'm honored to be a part of that area. I'm honored about the cohesiveness that we have. Sometimes we fight like brothers and sisters. You know, we might duke a couple of noses maybe, theoretically, but we come back and we come back as a family. And that's what it's really all about. The other thing I kind of want to speak to is that some people don't even know what a central region is. And so you go to your home group and you know that you're a part of a group. And you can't imagine what's past that. And then you get to international and you're thinking, how does this happen? Your group is a part of a district, and your district is a part of an area, and your area is a part of a region. And the region is a part of all of general service organization in New York, and they all come together. And then, like, General Service is a part of huge, like, worldwide AA. And when I got sober, I never would have imagined that I'd be up here talking to you guys about Area 21. And I want to offer a little hope, and that this, too, could be you. And you are the face of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is ours. And I couldn't help from being overwhelmed when I was visiting archives yesterday and watching that video of Bill and Bob and how this thing, it came about. And we are that. And again, I do represent the best region in the whole world, too. And speaking up here is a major accomplishment for me, and the fact that I'm going to talk less than 15 minutes and the buzzer's not going to go off. So, yeah. If you guys have any questions, he'll ask for questions after we're all done. But don't be afraid to ask, because we were all at that first day, that first week, that first month, and we've all been where you are. And this thing is so huge, it's hard to understand how it's organized. It's the funniest unorganized organization ever. And up at this level, when we're talking about regions and all of that, it is organized. And otherwise, can you imagine a bunch of drunks running around trying to keep it all together? It'd be bad. So, again, I am so incredibly... I wasn't going to do this. I'm so incredibly honored to be in front of you all today and to have graciously accepted that loving invitation. And I close with that. Thank you.
Our third panelist speaker will be Cheryl V. from Northern Illinois. Cheryl is the current delegate. Please help me welcome her.
So what do we say in Northern Illinois? Woo-hoo! I don't know about if we're the best or the worst or what, but we have enthusiasm. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Cheryl, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cheryl.
And it is my privilege and honor to serve as a delegate to my area. I, too, got a invitation from Bill, and then I didn't get a loving invitation, and I didn't get a loving invitation, and I didn't get a loving invitation. And so I think it was last week I finally said, Bill, I haven't gotten a loving invitation. Am I off the hook? He said, no. So I want to thank all of you who stayed, you know. There was a lot going out. I don't think it had anything to do with Mike. I think it had to do with a lot of people think history is boring, and they're missing something. I really think so. We're lucky enough in Northern Illinois that in 1996 we put together a book, and then we updated it in 2003. And I've had such fun reading it. I'm going to go home and say when I'm done being delegate, I'm volunteering to update it to 2015 because we're a little behind. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of interesting. I appreciate, Paula, that you talked about what it means to be part of a group, and then you're part of the district. So you meet your neighbors there, and then you meet your neighbors at the area because you go to the area, and then you meet your neighbors at the region, and how big my world has gotten by serving as delegate and meeting people in U.S. and Canada. And so I volunteered, and I worked the anonymity booth, and I worked the old-timers booth, and I can't believe you have to have 50 years of sobriety. You know, I'm going to be 86 or something by the time I get to go to an international. But I've been lucky enough to meet people from Japan, Brazil, Germany, France, Ireland, Australia, England, Colombia, Mexico, and New Zealand so far. Look at those neighbors, right? Some of them don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, and you speak my language. Oh. I wrote down a few facts. I had to cross them out. You know, our first meeting in Northern Illinois was in Sterling, Illinois, and it was started in 1943. That was the first registered group. The next registered group was in Rockford, and it was in 1945. I remember going to my first meeting, and there was a woman there who had 30 years of sobriety at my first meeting. Well, it wasn't at my first meeting. It was 2 months later, you know. And she opened the door and made sure there was a place for me because she was the first woman in my area, my little area, my little county that went to AA meetings. So that's what we do. Our first delegate was panel two, and that was George M. from Decatur. As Paula talked about, we were kind of two areas, but we were joint together. So, and originally in 1952, we had four districts in Illinois, and it was literally split in four. In 69, we had 10 of them. And then somewhere along the line, we got to 25, but I got to tell you, when in 2010, when I was serving as area chair, the current area chair passed off to me, and he said, the Spanish districts want to split. Go figure out how to do it. I said, okay, and you know, I'm glad there was somebody around who said, well, when this district did it, and all you got to do is you got to get everybody in the district to agree, and you can split. That's all it takes. Now, in 1959, we voted down splitting into four areas. I'm glad, you know. It was something that wanted to split up a little. I can see where you might want to do that. One of the interesting things that was in our handbook here was there was a lot of controversy in Chicago. Sorry, Reuben, didn't know you knew that. But they had a central office, and they had a West Suburban and a South Suburban intergroup, but they finally got it back together. 1954 to 1972, you guys argued amongst yourselves. Now we argue about who's got the great state. So, those are pretty boring there. You know, when in 73, you know, some of it is boring. Yeah. In 1973, you know what I don't like about this? They don't have it in chronological order. Oh, my God, it made me crazy. In 1973, when we split up, we have a state conference now. So, and it rotates amongst the three states. So that's kind of three areas in our state. Now, next year, the Illinois State Conference is in Northern Illinois. It's also the East Central Regional Conference. So I expect to see all of you there who are from Michigan. Yeah. Indiana. Nobody from Indiana. Kathy's here. There you go. Indiana. Ohio. Yeah. All right. Wisconsin. Yeah. And I expect to see all of you there then. Okay. So, because that's going to be regional. And then let's see. One of the really neat things that was in here that really caught my attention is that they made a quote from some transcripts. We had historians who were going around and talking to the older members. And this was actually from a member's wife who got sober in Evanston. And she recalled in a recollection that the phone calls between them often started with, "Are you still there? Are you still there?" Isn't that neat? Our first young people's meeting was in 1960 in the Waukegan Alano Club. You know, I got sober in 1986, and they were still saying, well, I spilt more than you drank. And, you know, I don't know if it comes across. I'm not exactly a shy, quiet girl, and they said that to me the first time, and I said, if you hadn't spilt so much, you'd have gotten here sooner. So, you know, that's about all I want to tell you about this. If you want to learn more about history, please get in touch and talk to people in your area. Share your stories. If you've got somebody there who's been sober a long time, get them to talk about their home group and share that, because it is so important to us to know where we came from. That's where our traditions came from, right? From the making mistakes. But I know I went to that February meeting and Loretta shared about having 30 years. And what occurred to me is she kept the doors open. And it is our responsibility now to keep the doors open so that next time somebody's doing the history, they're talking about what happened since then. And what's neat is we all become a part of the history. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.